Support for the Pitch Talks podcast comes from the good beer folks at Steam Whistle, makers of Canada's premium Pilsner. Why not stop by the brewery right outside the Rogers Centre for a sample or a six-pack? Steam Whistle. Do one thing really, really well. Hey people, welcome to Pitch Talks. This week, the music episode. Want to know how pop flies relate to pop rock? We're going to swing all the way, hit all the right notes, and write down the score, this time on Pitch Talks. Thanks for downloading the Pitch Talks podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Hilliard. As a lifelong musician and fan of baseball, I can't help but see where the two worlds collide. From AC/DC's hard rock to Bieber's real schlock. From pump organ to Joe Morgan, hip-hop and home plate, music has always played a huge role in the live, in-game experience. And much like the Beatles and Shea Stadium, music and baseball will be linked together forever. But did you know that there were so many bands that were serious baseball fans? Today on the show, I talk to three musicians and get their take on being a fan, their relationship to baseball, and how life on the road as a scraggly-haired musician...
Mattingly, get rid of those sideburns!
What sideburns?
You heard me, hippie.
It's kind of like life as a ball player. Your DHs, designated hitmakers, on the podcast today are Mike O'Brien from the band Zeus and Nick Dicka from the Arkells. But first up to bat...
All right, it's rolling, as they say.
Ewan Curry is rolling, all right. His band, the Sheepdogs, are currently on tour crisscrossing Canada and are headed to Europe in April. Juno's, the cover of Rolling Stone, and a late night with Jimmy Fallon aside, the roll continues with their latest LP, Future Nostalgia. Born in Australia, Ewan grew up in Saskatchewan, a Cleveland Indians fan of all things. Oh, and did I mention he threw out the first pitch at a Jays game recently? And on only 540 days rest? I caught up with Ewan rumbling down the highway in a tour bus somewhere out on the Canadian prairies.
I'm in the bustling metropolis of Lloydminster. We're doing 35 shows across Canada, so I thought that was pretty badass.
You can't see me try to understand. I'm a complicated man.
First of all, I was born in Australia, and I lived there till I was 10. And first grew up kind of loving cricket, which is quite similar. My dad is Canadian. He's from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And he's a huge baseball guy. I grew up around a lot of like baseball stuff. I played baseball in Australia. And then when I came to Canada in 1995, and around that time I started playing Strat-O-Matic baseball. So as much as it was like watching baseball on TV, it was a lot of drafting teams against my dad and my brother, and like even at the age of 10, I was learning that walks were important, and stealing, and kind of the little sort of small ball stuff as well as the sort of home runs.
What do you think the common ground is between being a touring musician and baseball teams? Do you think there is common ground?
Well, I think going out on the road and traveling, performing in front of crowds, I guess, is kind of obvious. Although we're way more one night. We're more NBA teams because we do one night, whereas baseball is you get 3-4 game stands and stuff like that. So it's probably easier for them to pick up women. Controversial opinion, but I was a big Barry Bonds fan. I even had old Sports Illustrated from 93 where I'd cut out pictures of him and stuff like that because I was just a kid. But I liked Larry Walker because he was Canadian and a great player. I really liked the 95 Indians a lot, so I liked Albert Bell. To me, was one of the great performers. He was just such a bad, bad man when he got at the plate. Very intimidating, and that season he had 50 homers and 50 doubles. To me, was always a remarkable season. Ah, man, those teams were great. That 95 team in particular, all your Carlos Baerga's and Kenny Loftons and Omar Vizquel.
When I was growing up, there was always a huge divide between the jocks and the musicians. Do you think that the space between those two groups has changed at all? Like, do you think it's okay now to be a rocker and be a sports fan?
I played university football at the University of Saskatchewan. And my last year of playing football was my first year of playing in a band. And then the next year I went all in on the music thing. And for a while, I was kind of that mindset that, like, these are different worlds, or maybe not that mindset, but just it seemed kind of like there was a divide, and like all my new musical friends didn't really give a shit about sports, and it took me a couple years to kind of realize that, well, I really miss watching sports, and I really love it, and I actually found that a lot of the musicians I was kind of around were kind of boring anyway, so I've definitely found that a lot of musicians are into sports. I know, like, last year we went to a baseball game, went to a Jays game, and we got about, like, 25 people in our group, and most of them were musicians or connected to music. So it seems definitely like baseball is one that a lot of musicians enjoy because they kind of grew up watching it as a kid and stuff.
Now, you guys got to throw out the pitch once or twice, didn't you, for the Jays?
Yeah, Ryan, our bass player, did it this year, and I did it last year.
And what was that like?
Kind of terrifying. Because I was just like, I didn't want to end up on one of those top 10 lists with Obama and Mariah Carey.
What was your warm up routine? Did you practice at all?
No, we were like doing a thing, so I didn't get a chance to warm up, and we were on the road, so I didn't like have a ball or a glove to even practice. So I went in, like, I hadn't thrown a ball in, like, you know, 18 months. So I kind of like just really gently sort of floated it and I got it over the plate, but it was like kind of pathetic.
As long as you don't bounce it, I think that's the key.
Yeah, well, no, I definitely didn't. It was a bit high. If Randy Johnson was batting, it might have been a high strike, but it was, it did the trick.
Now, do you guys get to go to games while you're on tour?
We haven't worked it out where we've been in the right place, the right time, but last year I caught a couple series. I caught the Jays in Oakland, and then I saw them in Anaheim. So I saw 6 games total on the road, but those were specifically to go see the team. But yeah, it's fun, man. You know, you get a lot of heat when you wear your Jays gear and chant MVP in the same stadium that Mike Trout plays in.
That's Ewan Curry from the Sheepdogs. Check out their wicked baseball-themed video for the song The Way It Is on YouTube. FYI, it features a legendary crotch grab. Up next, we have a mighty Toronto-based band with an even mightier name, Zeus! Remember when Paul McCartney claimed that Ringo isn't the best drummer in the world, he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles? Zeus is kind of like that. Although they are all baseball fans to a degree, Mike O'Brien claims that drummer Rob Drake is the biggest baseball fan in the band. You know, the one that puts the games on the radio whenever the band is driving down the highway and such? Here's Mike on his time at Fenway, barbecue in the bleachers, and re-recording the Blue Jays' classic anthem, OK Blue Jays, just in time for the Jays' run to glory last October. 27 is the new 17. All the younger guys, they know what I mean.
No, I mean, you know, we've all grown up with the Jays and been, I feel like if, you know, you live around here, you're going to be a fan just based on proximity. And obviously all of us watch the Jays over the years. And, you know, lots of memories of going to see them. But yeah, Robbie was definitely, he's always been more into watching sports and stuff like that, but he just got into the Jays over the last few years. And whenever we get into the van, the radio is always on Fan 590 instead of, like, on music. As soon as I started, like, getting into music and picked up a guitar, it was kind of like, that was it. Done. Yeah, when you're, like, 14, 15, 16, and all of a sudden everything changes. When I was in grade 6 through grade 7, 8, I was really into collecting basketball cards. Well, I collected hockey and baseball cards a little bit, too, but I was really into basketball for a while there. That was sort of, like, my thing for, like, a year or two. And then it's like, as soon as you sort of discover music and girls, things change. I think that's a big part of, obviously, what people fell in love with the Blue Jays last year was not only how well they were doing, but but the team itself and what seemed to be like the camaraderie between the team, like this tight unit that supported each other and had each other's backs. And I think that is like a common ground between touring athletes and touring musicians, is that you kind of have to develop a really tight knit thing between you, because you're all you have on the road. You know, you're the family that you adopt, you know, and otherwise you're having a horrible time if you're not able to like rely on each other in that way.
Tell me a bit about how you guys got involved in re-recording the classic anthem OK Blue Jays.
Carlin, one of the guys in the band, he works at a studio in town from time to time, and so they said, do you guys want to come in and just record something? So we came in, and it was right the day we recorded the Jay song was the day of that crazy game where, you know, the fans were going nuts, like throwing stuff on the field, with all those like weird wacky plays in it. If you remember that, I think it was game 5, right? We were all swept up in the Jays fever and just said, let's re-record like we kind of started jamming on it for fun. And then we're like, let's just record a version of it. You know, we didn't really have like a big plan for it or anything. We just decided to record a version of it. And then it kind of was like, well, if there was ever a time to get it out, the wheels got in motion pretty quick, because we had a cool version happening, and we're like, okay, well, we should get this out like pronto. Basically, the turnaround was like 2 days between recording it and putting it out there.
The game starts.
Yeah, it seemed like people really dug it, you know. We were just really loving the Jays and loving watching baseball, and like everybody else having so much fun. And I think that was just sort of our way of acknowledging that spirit that was happening. In Boston, I went to see, I didn't go see a Jays game. I went to see Tom Petty there, which was amazing. It was one of the best shows I've ever been to. The strip that like runs around the park is all kind of like a street that's closed down, and they've got like, you know, food vendors, beer stalls, all that kind of stuff. And then when you get in, you walk around the perimeter of it, and it's a completely different feel. And you can see all the history. There's like a bunch of memorabilia and stuff like that from all the years gone by. And it's an amazing experience. We went to a Twins game on the last tour because we had a day off in Minnesota. And it was great. It was awesome. It's really fun to go. The couple parks that I've been to, it's just they're a lot more open, and there's, you know, it's more summery. We were sitting right next to this giant barbecue pit, and the smoke was like wafting like over this whole section of where we were sitting and into the field. Like, I guarantee the outfielders could smell barbecue and like the barbecue smoke coming across the field.
That's Mike O'Brien of Zeus. There's a link to their version of OK Blue Jays in the show notes. You can also check out their latest record, Classic Zeus, available on iTunes, or catch them live backing up Jason Collette across Canada in April and May. All right, it's time for the seventh inning stretch here on Pitch Talks, but don't you go nowhere. You work so hard for everyone. It's time for your weekly pitch plug. Thanks again for supporting Pitch Talks and making our next show in Toronto at the Phoenix Concert Theatre completely sold out. Over 500 baseball maniacs and Jays president Mark Shapiro. Should be a blast. There's also one other Pitch Talks on the books happening April 28th in Tavistock, Ontario, so come on down. And Homestand Sports has also got a Puck Talks coming up in Toronto on March 23rd and Ottawa on March 24th. For more info and tickets on these shows, and for all of our other world domination plans, please swing on over to homestandsports.com. Welcome back to the Pitch Talks podcast and the music episode. The Arkells are such huge baseball fans that not one but two members have appeared on stage live at Pitch Talks. I think that's got to be some kind of record. They also won two Junos in 2015, don't you know? One each for Group of the Year and Rock Album of the Year. Bassist Nick Ditka talked to me from his hometown in Hamilton, Ontario to give me his take on catching games while on tour, his favorite players growing up, and Homer announcers.
Where are you right now? Are you in Hamilton?
Yeah, I'm in Hamilton.
The Hammer.
I really love Ken Griffey. I think, you know, with him going into the Hall of Fame this year, it's not a question of if, but more a question of what Hall of Fame coverage is going to make me tear up, because Griffey was always kind of my favorite player growing up. He was so... He kind of played the game like a little kid did, you know. He was kind of really reckless and was all about kind of just like having fun. In terms of now, I do really love Joey Votto. You know, not only is he just kind of the absolute best at what he does. I remember reading a Fangraphs article that said he's only popped up like three times in his career. Like, he's only hit infield flies three times, which is amazing. We've been lucky enough to get to a lot of games in a lot of places that, honestly, I'd probably never get to go to if I wasn't on tour. Some of the highlights, I think, have been, we were recording in California in the fall of 2013, so we got to go to Game 3 of the Division Series between the Dodgers and Braves. So that was a really, really cool experience. That was actually the first playoff game I'd ever been to. I got to eat nachos out of a helmet, as you do, at Dodger Stadium, and that was a really cool experience. We've gone to like Citizens Bank, Kauffman, we've been to St. Louis, we've been to Busch Stadium twice, and we actually went to the Oco Coliseum in Oakland when we were playing in San Francisco, and I always say, when people ask, like, that was actually one of the more unique experiences, because so many ballparks now are very beautiful. You know, ever since they made Camden Yards, most of the ballparks that have come out since then they're all integrated very nicely into the downtown, like, skyline and cityscape. There's kind of, you know, great facades, really good restaurants. But the Oco Coliseum is none of those things. It looks like it belongs in Mad Max. There's literally like barbed wire fencing around the tunnel from the subway to the stadium, and it's just surrounded by parking lots and train yards. So it was honestly a more unique experience going there than it is to go to like Kauffman or Camden Yards or Citizens Bank.
What are your favorite ballparks and why?
I would say, I know this is the Homer answer, but it is the Skydome and or the Rogers Center. And It's the Rogers Center because when you go to a game there, you know guys 1 through 25 on the roster. Beyond that, in terms of kind of just fan experience or just kind of like a really great place to watch a game, PNC Park is really nice in Pittsburgh. When I went, and I actually went with Max from the band, they had all-you-can-eat seats, which I think... That's enough reason in and of itself to have it as a favorite park, beyond all the other great things.
You're sort of a loud and proud baseball fan. Do you think it's perfectly fine to be a musician and be into sports?
Yeah, I mean, to bring it back to Drake, too, I hope he doesn't screw up. Because if things keep going this way, you know, one of us could be like running the Jays one day, following in Drake's footsteps there. But with like social media and all the connectivity between people, if there's a musician, whether it's our band or anyone, they're on tour or something and they go to a game, like they'll post pics on Instagram and Snapchat, and it's so easy to see. Like everybody will know, hey, they were at the Phillies game or whatever. In terms of kind of like the old trope of like jock versus musician, and I think sometimes there's a few more really artsy jocks out there. Like, you know, I think of like Bernie Williams was a jazz guitarist, or like Miguel Batista wrote murder mystery novels, you know? And I think there's a few more straight ahead kind of meat and potatoes musicians out there too than might initially kind of come to mind as what you conceive of as like a musician and a jock. Those words hit me hard like a 1-2 punch. The classic is the White Sox play-by-play guy, Hawk Harrelson. Like, he's a homer, but you know what? It brings a little bit of fun to it, and so I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. My favorite Hawkism was there was a game, and somebody on the White Sox kind of like hit a low sinking liner into the left field corner. He says nothing about the play. You know, he doesn't say like Thomas hits a liner. He just sees the ball goes down the line, and he goes, rattle round down there, rattle round. Like, that's all he said.
That's Nick Dicka. His band, the Arkells, are in the midst of a massive U.S. tour right now, so head on over to arkells.ca for dates in your area. Okay, the show's over, and there will be no encore. Thanks to the sheepdogs Ewan Curry, Mike O'Brien from Zeus, and Nick Dicka from the Arkells for taking time to chat baseball. And for a whole slew of great songs on baseball by a band of real players, including Mike Mills from REM, check out The Baseball Project. They have a great bunch of tunes about guys like Fernando, Mark McGwire, The Babe, and a ton of other legendary players. Go to thebaseballproject.net for more. Thanks so much for checking out today's podcast. Please head over to the mothership, homestandsports.com, for all things Pitch Talks. There you can check out more podcasts, videos, and more, and you can get ticket and info on all of our other upcoming live shows. You can also check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where we are known as, all together now, Pitch Talks. Please take a second to leave some feedback or even a rating on iTunes. Every little bit helps this boat stay afloat. And you can reach us directly by emailing to podcasts@homestandsports.com. There's a new episode every Tuesday whilst we are in season here, so we'll see you next Tuesday. I'm Kevin Hilliard. Good night, everybody. The Pitch Talks love theme by Steve Kreklo at KRECKLO on Twitter. Sheepdogs music, courtesy of Warner Music. Arkells music, courtesy of Universal Music. Zeus music, courtesy of Arts and Crafts. Pitch Talks is a Homestand Sports production.